Hey Central Ohio, the nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
And the centerpiece of the entire web is the use of children for sex.
It was a stunning case that ultimately revealed the secretly perverse lifestyle Wesson had forced his family to lead.
It was more like an organized crime family.
According to Yahweh's law, that was just the way it was supposed to be.
One verse that said, if you don't like him, kill him. I really wish I could find him.
Welcome back to another episode of Seven Deadly Sinners. Thank you guys so much for listening and connecting with us and leaving positive reviews on Apple Podcasts. It's such a huge help to us and to keep the show going. And also please support our sponsors. They are some pretty awesome companies that I personally stand by 100% and use in my daily life. Links to those discounts will be in the show notes. Okay, are you ready for the final chapter in the Kingston Clan, aka The Order, three-part series on Seven Deadly Sinners? It's arrived. And boy, is it filled with stories that could easily be a scene from The Godfather. It's crazy to think how a group so insistent on its members living frugally, fasting, committing all their finances back to the Order, could turn out buying $20 million homes and still building their empire within the Order on the backs of children and underpaid labor. Here's just a quick picture of what it's like to be a regular member of the Order, the dangerous jobs they did for less than minimum wage, like coal mining and children working in slaughterhouses, and just what it's like to try and leave the Order and get your hard-earned money back. Not to mention what it was like to ask for $100 from your own account to throw a birthday party for your daughter. The accountant in this scenario countered that she would give Ron Tucker $50 of his own money to throw the party. Not $100 like he asked for, a whole $50. Then, just imagine what it was like for Ron Tucker, son of one of the prophets, half-brother to current prophet Paul, when he finally escaped and when he asked for his whole hard-earned savings back. Well, he was denied. But once he was denied, Ron pulled a badass move. He found a photo of him and Paul as teenagers attending a high school dance, a move forbidden within the Order. So, Ron made copies and wrote on it something along the lines of, "Should our prophet be a man that would attend dances as a teen? Clearly he's not holy." He sent these copies to school with his children, knowing they would share with their parents, along with a list from 1 to 10 of other things that Paul had done that was unholy. But he only filled out number 1, attending a dance, and left the other 9 blank as a clear threat that he would expose the rest if he didn't get his money. That day, Paul had the accountant cut Ron a check, and he was on his way to freedom. Though it would take years for Ron and his family and other former members to feel comfortable with handling their own money on the outside. I mean, they had grown up in the cult, with all their money being turned over to the Order, that they didn't even know how to go to the ATM, to speak to a bank teller, even feel confident that their hard-earned money was actually theirs. Ron and other former members tell stories of breaking into cold sweats and nervously trying to figure out how to negotiate with the bank teller to get their money, thinking, okay, I need 100, but maybe she will only give me 50, so should I ask for 150? Or, okay, maybe I'm being too greedy. I'll just ask for 100 and hope for the best. Many a blank and confused stare would come from the teller's face as she said, "You can have whatever you want. It's your money." But that innocent and frankly well-deserved threat Ron gave to Paul to get his money back is not the organized crime activity I'm talking about today. Oh no, that's child's play compared to what high-up members would go on to do as of very recently. Ron's story is just meant to juxtapose the billion-dollar fraud scam some of the Kingstons will be in prison for very, very soon. So, what does a fundamentalist Mormon from an elusive secret society, an Armenian gangster masquerading as a businessman, and a biodiesel company have in common? Well, money, greed, and gluttony, of course. Lev Derman, a flamboyant character, partying his way through Beverly Hills, driving exotic cars, becoming an infamous fixture on the club scene, and no doubt spending his fair share of time with the young ladies wherever he partied. How could a man such as this find himself linked with a couple of strict Mormon men with multiple but dedicated wives, sure, but also from a culture of fasting, of discipline, of abstinence? What would these two talk about on a private plane from Utah to Seattle when Lev invited Jacob Kingston and his wife to dinner, you know, casually, several states away for their first official meeting? Well, one thing I can say that they for sure talked about on some of these flights would have been, you know, how to defraud the U.S. government. Oh, and maybe Lev gave Jacob a few tips on how to live larger than life and how to flaunt it in the faces of all the order members living in total poverty. After all, when Jacob met Lev, he was driving a Toyota Tercel, but rented a Cadillac Escalade to pick Lev up for a meeting in order to impress him, like an awkward boy at prom renting a limo to try to get laid. But Lev Derman didn't create Jacob and Isaiah Kingston to become the jailbird tycoons they became, because those two were part of the inner circle of the order, descendants of the prophets, afforded an education that his contemporaries were not. A spoiled upbringing, far from the dire straits of the other members, made the two men that already thought they were destined for greatness become men who were willing to do anything to get it. And like any famous organized crime family, if you can't get them on abuse or murder or even a plot for murder, how can you get them? Well, just follow the money. The government has had its practice in this after all. They didn't get some of the most famous mob bosses in prison for their nights spent sending poor souls to swim with the fishes. Nah, they got them on tax fraud, extortion, racketeering, all means of financial crimes they could find to pin on the mob bosses, like Al Capone, who famously once said, quote, "Be careful who you call your friends. I'd rather have four quarters than 100 pennies." I bet after all was said and done, Lev Derman was wishing he'd followed Al Capone's advice and lined up with someone a tad more streetwise and less wide-eyed and clumsy than the Kingston brothers. And I bet the Kingston brothers wished they wouldn't have gotten sucked into the glitz and glam that Derman offered. But Derman and the Kingstons were a different breed, no pun intended. Sure, the Kingstons liked to make threats, but these products of years of incest couldn't charm or intimidate a house cat if they came face to face to them. Actually, that was a terrible example. I am also a little bit afraid of house cats and their scrappy teenage angst attitudes. But maybe Derman taught them a thing or two about how to at least intimidate from afar. Because as we will learn, financial crimes aren't the only thing the Kingstons have in common with the mafia. They also like to have people followed, order hits, and have henchmen to do the dirty work they couldn't. Yet, they couldn't intimidate a young couple in their late teens, early 20s from becoming the whistleblowers that burnt their whole financial scam to the ground and aided the feds in getting everything they needed to raid the shit out of these suckers. So, who are these whistleblowers? Well, it's a young woman by the name of Mary Nelson and her new husband, Brian. Mary had been working in the Kingston financial office since the age of 6, so she knew her way around. Mary's father, David, is Jacob's uncle. Her mother is David's 5th wife. When she was a kid, she says, Mary and her mother were so broke they had to dumpster dive for food. Mary had always planned to escape, and when she met Brian, an outsider in community college that she was now dating, who also called her the most beautiful girl he had ever seen, she finally had the strength to do it. So in 2013, when she was 17 years old, Mary climbed out of her bedroom window and ran across a field where Brian Nelson was waiting on the other side to take her away with him. And the two were married soon after.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Hey, Central Ohio. The nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Hey, Central Ohio. The nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
Brian soon became more and more horrified as he heard of the order's practices, the sexual abuse, the incest, the child labor, and he encouraged Mary to expose them. So now, she finally had the backing of her husband to do so, and they made it their mission to show the world who the order really is. Mary said, quote, "I want to see the order dismantled, and its leaders pay the price for what they have done to thousands of people they control." During the years Mary worked in the Kingston Group's central office, she helped process financial records, including some pertaining to Washakie, the most lucrative order-affiliated business, the one owned and run by Jacob Kingston. She and Brian gathered documents and mapped out the Kingston's labyrinth family tree on paper and then tried to get the feds' attention. And this was all happening under Jacob and his new pal Lev Derman's noses. Mary and Brian expected retaliation, and they got it. The order had them followed, and it even came out later, may have had a hit on them. In a clip from CBS's Whistleblower, they said this.
"I didn't ever think that there would be physical threats. The order built their business empire to so much, and now they feel like they can take care of anybody that's in their way."
But I'm getting ahead of myself. After learning all of that, it's not surprising that the Kingstons, specifically Jacob and Isaiah's violent tactics and fraud, accelerated when they went into business with this man, Mr. Derman. Sure, the Kingstons were known for being worth millions but having their multiple wives collect food stamps, or using false social security numbers of former members that had died, and faking birth certificates, but that's nothing compared to what they did when they linked up with Derman. So, who is Lev Derman. Before the untouchable Derman, a man with a stocky build and stereotypical tough guy look was finally taken down. He was born Levon I can't even figure out how to say his last name. I don't think he deserves it, but it's like Termendizan. Termendizan. That's as good as it's going to get. He left Armenia at 14 for Los Angeles, went to Hollywood High, worked in the fuel business as a teen, and soon built a small empire of gas stations, truck stops, and energy companies in Southern California. He lived in Bel Air, drove a Bugatti, Rolls Royce, so many cars, had an office on Rodeo Drive, took meetings at the Beverly Wilshire Hotel, and surrounded himself with bodyguards, and beat case after case, beginning with a 1993 federal charge of taking part in a diesel tax scheme that ended in acquittal. In 2003, Derman was charged with assaulting a Glendale detective who had been tailing his cousin. He was acquitted after two trials. In 2017, Los Angeles Police Department detectives and federal agents raided his homes and businesses, seeking evidence of money laundering, tax evasion, and grand theft, among other suspected crimes, according to a copy of a search warrant. They hauled away Derman's business records, luxury cars, watches, Hermes bags, and millions of dollars in cash, all of which were returned after county prosecutors declined to file charges. Perhaps he was able to constantly avoid prosecution because Lev knew how to surround himself with very powerful people. Often in law enforcement and government positions, like Felix Cineros, a former agent with Homeland Security Investigations, and John Saro Balion, a former narcotics detective with the Glendale Police Department. But he also got himself tangled up with some people even more dangerous than him. Derman and Balion, the former narc detective, had a falling out in 2016. A Mexican mafia associate told an LAPD detective that Balion offered him and another gang member $100,000 to scare someone, which led to a drive-by shooting that riddled an SUV carrying Derman's sons with bullets. Derman is likely way out of softy Kingston boys Jacob and Isaiah's league, and maybe they didn't have the brains to do a quick Google search to figure it out, or maybe they were just too greedy to care. So how did Lev and the Kingstons meet and become a match made in fraud heaven? Well, it all started with a chance meeting in Southern California, which led to Derman flying up to Utah to visit Jacob's small biodiesel plant, which included storage tanks, trucks, and prefab buildings. Jacob's wife, Sally, eagerly greeted him with Armenian fruits and a cowboy hat upon his arrival. Well, that seemed to be enough, and off they were to dinner in Seattle. Undoubtedly, this was likely the most lavish thing the Kingstons had ever done. They accepted and boarded Lev's private jet for the West Coast. A pretty nice follow-up to their fruit basket. Jacob was impressed. This guy had money. He knew how to make it, and he could teach Jacob. Maybe they could even become partners. And just like that, Jacob's wife, Sally, was also on the flight and was already in the fold of the soon-to-be scheme, too. When they got to Seattle, they had sushi at a wealthy friend of Derman's. They were serenaded by Russian singers there at the house. And Jacob and Sally tucked themselves into bed early after dinner at the hotel Derman had booked for them, while Derman continued partying into the morning hours. The next day before they left, Derman took them to the fish market before boarding the private jet and bought them nearly 15 boxes of fresh seafood that had to have been worth thousands upon thousands of dollars. I wonder if during any of this, Sally and Jacob were like, should we just not be Mormon anymore? I mean, life on the outside seems pretty effing fun. I know I would have. And based on the fact that Jacob and his wife and kids were living in a rundown cabin, Jacob must have wanted in on the action too, because soon he was living like an Armenian party boy himself. Maybe not totally partying like Derman, but he was surely living in luxury. It just took a quick, huge government scam, weird political affiliations, offshore accounts, gas truck trips that never happened, and the fake records to cover it up. What could go wrong? I mean, Jacob Kingston was one of Paul, the current prophet's favorite nephews, and he's always thought he was special, so how could this be any different? I mean, Jacob had managed to earn a PhD in mechanical engineering, all while growing his brood with Sally to half a dozen kids before graduating. Clearly God was shining on him. And hey, what's a few little fake documents and tax loopholes if it was all in the name of God? The Order had already always believed in, quote, bleeding the beast, essentially ripping off the government for every penny of welfare in retaliation for them trying to persecute their lifestyle and polygamy.
The term for it is called bleeding the beast.
The beast being the United States government.
The beast is the United States of America, yeah.
Bleeding the Beast has a long history going back to the days when the federal government was prosecuting polygamists. That history led to an ethos that everything that the federal government did was bad, and therefore we are justified in doing whatever we can to get money out of the government.
So even before meeting Dirtman, Jacob had started his own biodiesel company after hearing it was a solid moneymaker, especially after Congress's 2005 passing of subsidies for biodiesel companies. They did this because of the worries of energy independence and carbon emissions, and for farmers eager for a new market, so they offered up billions of dollars worth of subsidies to spur biodiesel production. Some states have chipped in additional incentives as well, all of which has changed and evolved over the years, but there are two that are very important to the tale of Jacob Kingston and Lev Dirtman. These subsidies kick in at two different steps along the biodiesel manufacturing chain. According to an article by Vince Baser for Wired, who wrote a brilliant summary of this whole scam, he explains it like this. The steps to qualify for the subsidies are twofold. Step one, production. Every gallon of B100 that a producer distills from raw feedstock is given a, quote, renewable identification number by the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency. Those identification numbers work sort of like carbon credits. Big oil producers are mandated by Congress to either produce or buy a certain amount of biofuel. They can get around this requirement by simply buying the numbers from someone else, in effect, paying another company to make biodiesel. Step two, blending. Producers then mix the B100 with a little regular diesel to produce what they call B99. Pure B100 can be used as fuel for trucks and heavy equipment, but its high viscosity tends to gum up conventional engines. Every gallon of B99 produced earns them $1 tax credit, which is actually a direct payment from the IRS. The B99 then gets sold down the line to customers like fuel stations or trucking companies, which usually add more diesel to the mix, depending on their requirements. Those subsidies have worked. American biodiesel production shot from around 100 million gallons in 2005 to around 1.7 billion in 2019. But the industry is far from self-sustaining, and supporting it hasn't come cheap. A 2019 report by Taxpayers for Common Sense reckons biodiesel credits have cost American taxpayers at least $12 billion so far, not all of which was used as intended, to say the least. Great, so not only have the Kingstons profited off the backs of their members, they are now soon to be in the tax fraud game, profiting off of other Americans' hard work and tax dollars. Yay, I love them. I want to be friends with them. Good people. It's no wonder, too, that Lev, who'd been involved in shady fuel dealings, had no problem with the fact that the Kingston's fuel just wasn't that great. In another meeting between the two, Dirtman, flanked by bodyguards, apparently, like I said, wasn't troubled about the biodiesel's quality and said, quote, I move a lot of fuel, he told Jacob, according to federal court documents. Jacob then says that Dirtman told him he'd dumped everything from, quote, motor oil to yellow grease in his tanks. and that Derman agreed to buy the fuel then and there. According to court documents, the two weren't just going to do this without the forgery needed to back it up, right? So they added a little extra spice to the deal. They essentially cooked up documents to cover up this scam that was done over and over again. They had done this scam with India prior, but then the two men decided that they would send fuel to and from Panama this time. Ocean tankers took the biofuel to Panama. There, the fuel was relabeled as cooking grease or other biodiesel components and trucked across Panama because that would generate more documentation than taking the product through the country's shipping canal, Kingston said. Then the fuel was shipped back to California for the fraud to continue from there. Basically, it was always biodiesel fuel that they shipped back and forth, labeled as something else to get the tax credits for converting it. In fact, I'm not even sure that they ever made their own biodiesel fuel once the scam started, but they claim they produced biodiesel fuel that never existed at all. They just shipped and reaped tax credits and benefits along the way. And the more they reeled in from the U.S. Treasury, the more ideas Derman had about what to do with it. Jacob flew to L.A. almost weekly, and soon the two of them were traveling around the world looking for deals and investments. They lived like Pitbull, staying in five-star hotels in Miami, Vegas, New York. They bought property, they invested in a casino in Belize, and at one point, they even loaned the Belize Minister of Security $50,000 for his re-election in exchange for citizenship for Derman. Here are the texts from court proving that. The texts are between Derman and the Minister of Security. It says, "Hey, Jacob. Hello. How are things? Good. Who is this? John Saldivar, brother. Oh, how are you doing? Nervous. Why? I have some commitments for this week and I'm not hearing from Levin. We both just got back from Turkey last weekend. Okay. Well, four of my candidates have been successful in conventions already. It's looking real good so far, but I'm out of cash. Jacob, what can I do? Really need the February transfer. Jacob, can I wire? Not sure that's a good idea. Jacob, tell me how. I could probably fly to Miami tomorrow. Are you on WhatsApp? Jacob, I'll send some money to Miami. I'll let you know the contact person to meet. It'll be there Friday. Tell me how much to send. Usual is 25K, but perhaps it's best to deal with March at the same time. No response from Jacob right away. Then, you there? Jacob, yeah. Awaiting your confirmation. Jacob, confirmed. I'll talk to Levin. Okay, I will head to Miami Thursday. Jacob, my guy will be meeting you in Miami. Call Daryl at a phone number. Then, okay, buddy. And then Jacob confirms, you got what you needed? Yes, buddy. Enough. Thanks. And besides that overseas political dealings, they sank millions in cash into a range of businesses in Turkey, took photos with their leader, which ended up being over $100 million in business within Turkey. They kept living large and not discreetly at all. Derman was well connected in Turkey, so when Jacob's son, Jacob Jr., got married, Derman threw a party for a dozen plus Kingston aboard a boat off the shores of Istanbul, followed by a week-long stay at a resort on the southern coast. I mean, I gotta be honest, I'm kind of excited for the offspring that got to finally have some fun, but this is ridiculous. At the airport, an official whisked the Kingstons to the front of the customs line. A police escort shouldered aside traffic for the bus that took the family to their hotel. Jacob, who never seemed to drink before but was now living the high life in nightclubs and hotel bars, rubbing elbows with politicians, and he even invested in a clothing line with a rapper, Juan G, and created a talent showcasing app called Mobstar. I have to be completely honest, if that came across an email in any way for me in the entertainment industry, and they were like, you got to get on this app to showcase your talent, I'd be like, this is so sketchy, and it's called Mobstar? Anywho, he also bought a suite at Salt Lake City's top sports arena and hung out with Utah Jazz basketball players. The order members questioned his newfound wealth, especially while they were still living in poverty, but he assured them he just needed to project an image of success so he could get more deals, and that his money was eventually going to be filtered back to them, obviously. Sally was growing upset that Jacob was gone so much, so Lev told Jacob to buy her a new house. And he even toured the house with Jacob and proclaimed that the $3.1 million home was very much, quote, their style. What a bunch of nerds. It's like someone being like, this is so us right now. Lev even flew back into town to help negotiate the deal on the house with his entourage of bodyguards. And it just so happened that this date coincided with the annual Kingston family picnic, a modest affair that Jacob invited Lev to, and they both rolled up in style in a Lamborghini and an Escalade full of bodyguards. If I was an order member living in poverty, I might just want to waltz over there and slit their tires, honestly. Then it gets much more insulting. As the members were fascinated walking Jacob out after the picnic, and they're walking by his new friend, he's so mysterious, right in front of the members, Derman tossed Jacob the keys to the Lambo and said, "Here, it's yours." And the parade of flaunts are us was only just beginning. Eventually, the two escalated to buying each other rare cars. Lev bought Jacob a gold Lamborghini. Jacob bought Lev a rare Bugatti. During this time, though, Derman started to sense something was up. Someone was on their trail, but it didn't stop him from being flashy. Instead, he began to accuse someone in their inner circle, not Jacob, but another lower member in their new business, if he or his wife were talking. Little did he know, it was barely out of college, young newlyweds Mary and Brian. But even though he was suspicious someone was talking, he didn't tone down his flashiness. Oh no. A few weeks later, Derman threw a gigantic birthday party for Jacob in Utah. And at this party was where Derman gave Jacob the present of a gold Ferrari, an amazing gift, but couldn't outdo the $1.8 million Bugatti that Jacob had recently given Derman for his birthday. The fun was about to be over, though. February 2016, Jacob got a call from the Salt Lake IRS office, an insider warning him that the feds were planning to raid his offices. The family and employees began to scramble, shredding documents. Isaiah, Jacob, Rachel, their mom, Sally, his wife, everyone began grabbing binders of documents to hide too. Computer hard drives were replaced. Then at 8 a.m. on February 10th, IRS, EPA, and Homeland Security startled Jacob and Sally out of bed. They had a warrant. They were there to search his home, and they would be there for 9 hours. Other agents searched the office. They didn't come up with much at first because of the cover-up, but that didn't stop them. Jacob still managed to get himself down to Vegas to meet with Derman at a suite at the Wynn Hotel just a few days later. According to court documents, Jacob said that Derman had Jacob stripped down to his underwear to prove he wasn't wearing a wire. With that confirmed, he told Jacob he hadn't known about the raid, but that, quote, his boys would try to take care of it. Quote, stay strong, Derman told him. So Jacob boarded a plane to Florida, and then he pressured the lower member, his name is Leon, the associate, to meet him in a cheap motel room in North Miami, not far from the beach. Taking his cue from Derman, Jacob had Leon take off his shirt and put his phone in the microwave. Leon assured Jacob he was not talking to the government. Don't worry, Jacob told him. Quote, there are people on the inside who are going to take care of this. You fucking nerd, Jacob. The government was finding out slowly just how much the brothers had stolen from them and blown it on cars, homes, trips, investments with unknown rappers. Then the brothers began to drain their bank accounts and sold as much as they could of their stuff, even his wife Sally's jewelry. Derman encouraged Jacob to then fly to Turkey and bring the money to his guy over there. Jacob agreed. And according to the Wired article, quote, on August 23rd, 2018, Jacob walked down a skybridge at the Salt Lake City Airport, heading for a gate from which a KLM flight to Turkey was departing. According to Bloomberg Businessweek, two of Jacob's sons were there and their wives, along with Sally, they were already on the plane. But before Jacob could board the aircraft, plainclothes federal agents stepped out and arrested him. Isaiah and Dermot were also taken into custody in Salt Lake City and Los Angeles, respectively, the same day. In 7 years, Jacob had gone from living in a badly heated cabin in northern Utah to luxurious foreign hotels to a jail cell. For a few months, Jacob and Isaiah kept insisting to federal prosecutors that they were innocent. But then the feds indicted their mother and Jacob's wife, Sally, as well, for mail fraud and money laundering. They were all looking at possibly decades behind bars. Soon, all four agreed to enter guilty pleas and testify against Dermot in exchange for lighter sentences. According to the indictment at the time of the arrest, the extent of the brothers' holdings were revealed in the indictment that was filed that week, which detailed the property that would be forfeited by the family if Jacob and Isaiah were convicted. That list started of 2 commercial and 18 residential properties, including 2 massive compounds, one located in Sandy, a 6-bedroom, 5.5-bathroom mega mansion worth $4.5 million that measures more than 10,000 square feet. Aerial views show that a large perimeter fence and additional dwellings have been built on the property in the years since it was sold. There is also a parking lot-sized driveway that could easily fit 20 cars running alongside the mansion. There is also a more modest home worth just over $1 million in Salt Lake City. That property is also surrounded by a large perimeter wall and has a massive parking lot that runs alongside the property. The 10-bedroom, 6-bath dwelling measures 7,234 square feet and was purchased by the family in 2013, who then commissioned the wall surrounding the property and expanded the driveway. The other properties were far more modest and scattered throughout Utah and Texas. And then they also bought one on the very exclusive Gilbert Island in Huntington Beach, California. That property is worth $4.5 million and is a far cry from the more traditional homes of the two back in Utah. This 4-bedroom, 5-bath home is framed by custom windows in the front that offer views straight to the home to the harbor. Inside, there are polished travertine stone floors, 11-foot-high ceilings, and a courtyard, and also a dock slip out in the back for a boat. I'll post photos of these to the Instagram when the episode is live. It's nuts. But it was not just real estate that the men dropped millions on either, with court documents showing that these two had also spent a fortune on cars. The most notable of these was that 2010 Bugatti, which cost $1.72 million. They laundered money that also allowed the two to purchase a 2015 Lamborghini, a 2008 another Lamborghini, I'm not going to say the makes of them because they're long, scary names, a 2007 Ferrari 599, and 6 Kenworth T660 trucks. And now they're all facing decades in prison, including their mother Rachel, Sally, and obviously Lev Dermot. And that is how 2 unlikely heroes, Mary and Brian, took down a huge spoke in the Kingston Clan's wheel. Thank you guys so much for listening, and if you're enjoying the show, the best thing you can do is to tell a friend. Leave a 5-star rating and positive review on Apple Podcasts. It really means so much. All right, see you next week. Bye.
So, if you're a member of that clan and you have a job, everything that you earn will be given to the leaders of the church, and you will be given some allotment that's appropriate for you.
It's not about everybody living equal. It's about everybody sacrificing and living poor so that the leaders can have as much money as they want.
I knew some people had Lamborghinis but were applying for food stamps. The tax fraud and welfare fraud is pretty widespread. It's encouraged to have that income coming in.
They give you instructions. They say don't ask questions. They just say do this to this account, putting money somewhere else for a little bit of time just to get it down on paper and then putting it right back.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Hey, Central Ohio. The nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's C-O-T-A.com. Good luck to all the runners.